If you've never come to the 10:30 service, I highly, highly recommend it. Joe is and Tanya are truly a gift to this body, and Joe's life-giving interpreting is just an amazing gift. So highly encourage you to come for that. And Joe had no idea, we had no idea when he agreed to do this, the passage that we'd be covering. So we're going to be talking about gratitude in a little bit. But before we get to gratitude, let's talk about peace. When I say what comes to mind when you think of peace, is it something like this? Or maybe it's like this picture right here. Possibly it's this. Or maybe this. That doesn't bring me peace, just saying. I love Murphy, but come on. Or maybe, how about this? This is more peaceful to me than Murph. Or maybe this next picture. How about this picture? Some of you, not peace. Other people, peace. How about the next picture? Wednesday, not so much peace. How about the next picture? True peace right there. How about the next picture? Some of you are like, why are we looking at frozen lakes? It's finally about to be summer. Okay, but some people, this is peace. How about this? A little Boundary Waters action. How about the next one? Okay, more some people's speed. How about the next one? Time on the trail? Or maybe the next one? This is true peace. Rainbow. How about the next one? Is this peace swinging on a swing by the ocean, by the mountains? Maybe it's a combination of all three. So the question is, what does it mean for you to think about peace? And some of you are thinking, not meeting someone new. Well, guess what? You're about to not feel any experience of peace. We're going to take 2 minutes. Some of you are like very uncomfortable right now. It's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. Stand up, meet somebody new. Hi, my name is, maybe where you're from, and what place brings you the most peace? 2 minutes, ready, go. Okay. Thank you for participating. Thank you all for participating, whether you wanted to or not. Yeah, it's fine. Get you back. I never had you in the first place, so how could I get you back? So we've been walking through Colossians. We took a brief hiatus to hear from our newest missionary, Rachel. Last week, we had the amazing baptism service. And we are back in Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, the Colossian church. And it is on page 984 in your blue Bible, which is right in front of you. Some of you have been trying to memorize this, like myself and Paul. Paul's just got it in the bag. I don't have it so much in the bag. So it's just better to read it for me. Starting in verse 12, we've been going through this section. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So y'all must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in y'all's hearts, to which y'all were called in one body. And be thankful. And then he keeps going, but we're not there yet, so why would we spoil what's coming next week? Just a little context. Paul's in prison. He's writing this. He's most likely in Rome in prison. He's writing this letter to the church at Colossae. And the interesting thing about Ephesians and Colossians is they're both regional letters. So it'd be like Paul is writing a letter to the church of the Brainerd Lakes area, or maybe even the church of Minnesota. And at the end, he says, hey, oh, by the way, pass this letter on to some other churches because it's important for all those who are followers of Christ to know what I'm about to say, which is different and unique from some of his other letters like 1 Corinthians, which is written directly to a church, or Galatians that has an issue. So this is about what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So in this section or this verse, he says, and let the peace of Christ rule in y'all's hearts. So what brings you peace? Or what places bring about peace for you? The interesting thing about this word peace is we so often think in terms of certainly individual things, and we think of lack of conflict or lack of agitation. We think of easygoing. And yet, this word that Paul is using for peace is about wholeness or completeness. If you go back to in chapter 1, he mentions the fact that what God is doing through Jesus Christ is bringing about peace. He's bringing about reconciliation and restoration. Now, many of you will come as no surprise, I'm not a big car guy. Frankly, I'm not a big house guy either. And yet, I've become fascinated by restoration shows, right? It's amazing. They pull this car out of like a shelter belt in eastern South Dakota, and in 30 minutes, it's like brand new and ready for auction. And you're like, oh my goodness, that was amazing. Restored to its original and all these things. That's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about peace, which is wholeness. Think full circle, completeness, restoration. And he's telling the church, the Christ-following people, to let the wholeness of Christ wash over them. Except we live in a world of chaos. We live in a world where the governor of Utah came up with this phrase, there is a constant stream of conflict entrepreneurs. Such a great phrase. Because where there is wholeness and restoration, it's harder to monetize. And so we are inundated with rage bait, so that we get fired up, so that we lose peace. We become dysregulated and disoriented. And we so easily become swept up into the stream of chaos rather than experiencing what God desires for us in his Son, which is wholeness and restoration and peace. And Jesus talks about this. He talks about the fact that we are, he has come to be the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Wholeness, the Prince of Restoration. And yet for some reason, we keep kicking him out of our driver's seat. We keep kicking peace out of our driver's seat and allowing chaos to reign. I mean, we have created whole new phrases, doom scrolling, and I so easily get swept up into this. It's like, what other chaotic thing is currently happening? And we get so easily sucked in. And the question becomes, why are we not experiencing peace? Why are we not experiencing the joy of wholeness and restoration? And for some, this can become, well, maybe it's unconfessed sin, or maybe it's that you're not a good enough Christian. And I just don't think that that's true. For example, Jesus has 12 disciples. I mean, these people are the closest people to Jesus. And they're experiencing all of these amazing things, and yet one of the best stories is they get on a boat, and they're going across the sea, and they literally have the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And the storm comes up, and it's mass chaos, right? They're like, we're all going to die. And Jesus is taking a nap, and they wake up Jesus, and they're like, Jesus, aren't you going to do something? And he's just like, I was sleeping so well. Shh, be calm. So some friends and I were at Bridger Bowl on a ski trip, and they just opened, or it was really, they'd really newly opened the Slushman's Lift. And in order to get on the Slushman's Lift, which is a two-person chair, which makes the ski gull chairlift look like a gondola at Vail. You're like, how is this thing passing OSHA regulations? Doesn't matter. As long as you have a beacon so we can find your body in the case of an avalanche, you can go. Beep. So we get on, and my two friends, Carlos and Victor, that's not their names. I've changed their names to protect the guilty. And they're riding up, and Carlos says, thinking that he's on the lift with me, Victor is freaking out. Victor is freaking out. And Victor leans over and says, what? And Carlos says, Vic, oh, you're freaking out, man. And he's like, I know. Meanwhile, Carlos and I are at complete peace, being brought up to our potential death and enjoyment. How can we be agents of peace? You know, we go back to the Sermon on the Mount, and we talk about the Beatitudes, and the blessed are those who are the peacemakers. And yet, I think so often, we do more peacekeeping than peacemaking. We've talked about this right before. We're not agents of peace in a world of chaos, because, well, for a variety of reasons. And I wonder how this idea of the peace that Christ brings to us, that Paul is talking about, can be something that we share with other people. Because for Carlos and I, we weren't scared at all. It was like, we'll be fine. We will be fine. And yet for Victor, it was like, I've never been here before. This is certainly over my skis, pun intended. This is like beyond me. And so how do we, as the body of Christ, come alongside one another and share our peace in moments and times of not peace? And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a bit. How do we become a non-anxious presence rather than getting sucked in and spun up? This is a major deficiency of mine. And it happened again last night. We were with Nikki's family. We were sitting at what they call mega table, which is everyone at the same table in the cabin. And Nikki's cousin brought up Julius Randle. And I just couldn't help myself. Because I grew up in a world, in a family, where if you were not poking the other person really hard, you weren't showing your love for them. And so I went on a bit of a 5-minute back and forth where I was I was more agitating than a rock in your crock when you're at the beach. And she took the bait. She took the bait. And then I was just like, why am I doing this? I'm literally preaching about this tomorrow, and I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. And then we got in the fishing boat with her husband, and I was like, why do I do that? I just do not like to do that. And yet it feels so good, like scratching your poison ivy, and it's not helpful at all. It's not helpful. And unfortunately, some of you are like, I could tell you about the time you did this to me. I'm sorry. I apologize. I have done it too many times. I really don't like that. And yet, check this out. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in y'all's hearts. I say y'all because it is you, plural. This idea of rule, the actual more appropriate translation is umpire. The Greek word can be translated umpire. And I just have been thinking about this phrase over and over and over, imagining that the peace of Christ is the umpire of myself, that when a thought comes in, it's like, no, no, that thought, bye, not welcome here, that's out of bounds, rather than me saying, oh, no, but it will be so fun. And the peace of Christ is like, and it won't be helpful. Do we allow Christ to umpire, to rule in us, or do we allow the things of this world and our flesh to control how we engage with people? And in particular, people in the body. And again, I just think of back in the day when Monday Night Football was actually fun to watch, and you had three channels, and so you just watched Monday Night Football. And then there was always the you make the call play. This was way before AI or instant replay or red flags or any of those things. And you were so excited. You're like, okay, all right, who's going to make the right call? And I was like, who's making the right call in my decision making? Is it the peace of Christ or is it my flesh? Last night, 100% flesh. And then he goes on, Paul goes on, and he says, to which you were called in one body. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says this. And he says, and he is the head, Jesus, of the body, the church. And this idea of body is such a key thing. Because we have so often taken this faith thing and we've made it about my autonomy, when we read scripture, it's not about our autonomous existence at all. It's about the body of Christ. It's about mutuality. It's about us being joined together as one unit, and not just us, but the body of Christ. Anyone who's a follower of Jesus Christ is a part of our body. And so we read this, and we read this in such American eyes, and we say, as you were called in one body, meaning my body, and yet it's not about my body. It is about my body, but it's about your body and our body and the body of Christ. And so we are to be agents of peace that unites us into one body. And yet far too often, we can become agents of destruction to the body of Christ. We can become agitators that cause harm to the body of Christ, which Paul has some really strong words about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And here he's saying to the Colossian church, you are to be living into the unity of one body. The challenge, again, for this is unity is not unanimity. It's not that we all are to be the same, because Lord knows we really don't need another one of me. Thank you. On Pentecostal Sunday, or Pentecost Sunday, we get the best amen we've ever had. Yes. How do I know this? Because I am me and I don't want another me. And we are called to be one body. We are called to have the mind of Christ. Jesus says this in John 17 in this high priestly prayer. He says, I do not ask, verse 20, for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." This idea that we are to be united in Christ, that we are to look at the center of the cross of Christ and say, this is what we agree on. And there are many, 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 I could keep going, things that we don't agree on. That's okay. That's actually good. Have you ever ate the same thing for like meal in, meal out, week in, week out, and you're like, please, could I just eat something else? I used to eat oatmeal like literally every single day. And you're like, what? Again, we don't need another one of you. Amen. And then you're like, I could really just use some eggs and bacon. Yes, that's good. In moderation. But Paul and Jesus are reminding those who have identified as followers of Christ, we are to be united together as one body. And yet, again, the culture we find ourselves in and the moment we find ourselves in is we have such a multiplicity of options that unity doesn't have to be a thing. If you upset me, I'll just go someplace else. If you offend me, I will go someplace else. I will go find whoever agrees with me 100%. Therefore, I won't have to be challenged in any way, shape, or form. That's what I want. And yet, that's not what the church is called to. If we're going to take Scripture seriously, the church, the body of Christ, is called to struggle with one another, to wrestle with one another, to hold each other accountable, yes, to bring about peace, and peace through unity. And unity comes at a struggle. And that is exactly how God has designed his church. And that is why Paul is telling the Colossian church, be agents of peace, living as one unified body. I have two older brothers, and they were not nice to me sometimes, a lot of the time. You're like, oh, you're the youngest. You always say that. Let me give you an example. My oldest brother, 4 years older than me, often would tackle me to the ground in our living room, and he would take my hand, and he would slap me across the face with it. He would say, why are you doing that? Stop punching yourself. God bless him. He made me who I am today. And yet, how often is it the case that the body of Christ slaps itself across the face and hurts other people in the body? And maybe some folks are here today because they're at the cabin, and be at the cabin, you have to go to church on Sunday, and you're like, I can suffer through an hour of church so I can be on the boat this afternoon when it's going to be 80. God bless you. The Spirit works in mighty ways. And yet we have history. We have centuries where the church has done horrible things to each other. And we have been non-agents of peace, and we have caused people to say, the body of Christ, I want nothing to do with that. And unfortunately, I know myself, and I have been that agent at times, where I have done things, ruptured relationships with people, and done a disservice to the body, where those people say, if that's what it's like to be a part of the body of Christ, I'm out. That's just the reality of being human. People are so people-y, and people do dumb stuff all the time, in the church, out of the church. Have you ever found yourself asking, why do my friends that have no time for Jesus treat me so much better than my friends that proclaim that they are followers of Jesus Christ? And you're like, God, what have you done? You're like, when does that happen? Read the Old Testament. And we know that this unity of the body comes at an expense, yes, because we, in essence, live in this cycle of rupture, repair, restore, repeat. That is life. That is the body of Christ. And so if you're here today and you've been hurt by the church, if you've been hurt by me, if you've been hurt by this church, I apologize with all that I have, and I would love to try to make it right. And it is the case that it's because of the blood of Christ that we can have peace and unity. I mean, look what Paul just said. The last 2 weeks of this series, we've been talking about bind everything together in love. Forgive as you have been forgiven. All of these things are what it looks like to be a follower of Christ. And yet, so often, we get in the cycle because the enemy convinces us, rupture, run, spread rumors, never go back. Because having hard conversations is hard. Being in difficult conversations is hard. Hearing somebody say, man, you really hurt me bad, that's hard. And it is the case that through hard conversations, rupture, repair, restoration, that we as the body of Christ become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's why we keep saying, if I say something, if we say something, if you hear something that sits sideways with you, please do the body of Christ a favor. And if somebody says to you, well, this person said this, I beg you, as a brother or sister in Christ, by the call of Jesus himself, rather than being swept into the age of rage and chaos and rumors, that sounds really hard. That sounds really hurtful. How about the two of us go talk to that person? What would that look like? We'd have a lot less tax-exempt real estate in the United States of America. That was a church joke. Because church is not something we do. It's who we are. We are called as one body. We, together, one body. And we're going to screw it up, and we're going to hurt each other. That is what people do. And we have a Lord and Savior who two of his best, closest people, one turned him over to be killed, and one denied him at the most crucial time of his life. And when we are hurt by the body of Christ, Jesus says, I know what you mean. And yet we are called to be agents of peace in a world of chaos and to bring about unity of the body. Nikki said in our last marriage class that we just did on Tuesday, we need to turn towards each other, not away from each other. I wish I could say, like, maybe it's your first Sunday at Timberwood. You're like, you just told me this church is going to hurt me. It might. What if rather than walking out the door and going and finding something else, we turned towards each other and said, I'm sorry, please forgive me. How can I make it up to you? Let's grow in this together. Because that's what Jesus is calling us to, and that is what Paul is calling the Colossian church to. And then he says this line that I loved when Joe brought it up in his faith story. He's like, oh yeah, and be thankful. And you're like, what? Where did this come from? Well, back in 1:12, he talks about the importance of gratitude. Because gratitude is this practice that reorients us to the reality of the gift that is offered to us through Jesus Christ and the gift of our brothers and sisters in Christ that become the beautiful sandpaper that rubs off the hard edges of each one of us. And if we can say, God, thank you for bringing this person into my life that is shaving off the hard, bumpy spots of me, it completely changes how we see one another. Because Paul is writing to a church just like us, a group of people that are trying to figure it out in a world of chaos and confusion, and saying, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ. Put off these old things, put on these new things, and live into peacemaking so that you can experience the true joy of the unity of the body of Christ. And for that, we should all be extremely eternally grateful. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning, grateful and thankful for who you are, for how you love us in the midst of our chaos, how you keep gently bringing us back to you. Holy Spirit, on this day that we celebrate as the Pentecost Sunday, I pray that you would burn in us more than we've ever experienced. That as we know about peace and we know about chaos, that you would help us continually choose the peace of Christ, and that we would be agents of peace, bringing about the unity of your body with immense gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.